This is episode 464 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Paddock. Here today with me is Dane Lewis, the new host of the Locked On Dallas Stars podcast. So y'all go give him a follow, give him a listen. If you're into hockey, it's going to be a lot of fun. We talk about all things Rangers and Stars. Have a little fun guessing which players of the team would be better at the other sport. Lots of good stuff on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get started.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, hockey and baseball fans, to this special edition crossover of Locked On Stars and Locked On Rangers. I am joined by the host of Locked On Rangers, Bryce Paddock, and we are here to talk about all things Dallas Stars hockey and Texas Rangers baseball. Bryce, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm ready for hockey season. In case your listeners are curious, I am the host of the Baseball Rangers podcast. Planning to do some kind of fun crossover, I don't know, maybe in like February or something, with the host of the Locked On Rangers hockey podcast. But it's good to have you as a part of the network, Dane. For those of you who don't know who my Rangers fans, I think I just told you a little bit in the pre-show that I have not recorded yet, so I'm forecasting in the future. But Dane is our new host of Locked On Dallas Stars. You can find them on YouTube. Rangers fans who are also fans of hockey, go check him out. He's got a great show. Glad to have you as a part of the network. This is a lot of fun. I have done one crossover episode with a Locked On hockey host of the Carolina Hurricanes, but we talked about baseball. He is watching a bunch of Rangers minor leaguers over there in Carolina. So it should be a lot of fun.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome. I was about to ask what the connection was there with the Texas Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes, but that's a unique way to get some insight on prospects and whatnot. Certainly looking forward to the ultimate Rangers collaboration down the road with the New York Rangers, who happen to wear the same colors as well. So that won't be confusing at all, I imagine. but yeah, I'm super excited to have you on the show. Super excited to be a part of the network and take part in what I hope is the first of many DFW crossovers, because we have a lot of great sports teams here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and a lot of great hosts that cover the shows as well. But I just kind of wanted to take a moment with Bryce and kind of talk through some questions about the Rangers, and then later on in the show we'll talk about the Dallas Stars a little bit. And then we've kind of formulated some fun questions for one another that we'll get to kind of at the end. But jumping right into some questions about the Rangers, what was it kind of like this season covering a team that is, I think many would say, I know certainly you would say, are in a rebuild, but still has a lot of potential. I think we saw a lot of good things from the Rangers kind of near the end of the season as far as young guys go, guys that were kind of called up from the minors, or even Adolis Garcia having a phenomenal season. So what can you say it was like covering a team that's in a rebuild but has a lot of potential and could be knocking on the doors of the playoffs within the next few seasons?
Yeah, well, it was definitely among the worst seasons that I've covered. I've been writing about the Rangers or covering them in some capacity since 2014. So, of course, that was my first year. And so I delved very deeply into the minor leagues that year. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to look at this major league team. Everything's crap and everyone's hurt. So there wasn't much you could glean from it. This year, it's like, all right, the team was going to be bad from the start. We knew that. And it was definitely tough. Adolis Garcia is definitely one of the big stories of this year. Joey Gallo leaving. I don't know how much Locked On Rangers you listened to, but very first half of this season, it was basically a Joey Gallo podcast. So him leaving is like, you know, imagine there's a Stars prospect that you followed basically from the time that they get drafted. They're a guy who has huge upside, but like also a lot of question marks if they'll ever get there, even to the major leagues, or, you know, get anywhere close to fulfilling their potential. Then they do that. And also, when they're doing that, people don't recognize and appreciate how good that player is. And then you're seeing that, and they're on this terrible, terrible team. And you think, okay, they want to be here. They say they want to be here. And then your team offers them an extension. That's an absolute insult. And so you have to trade them for basically a decent haul of prospects but that none of which are going to be anywhere near that player. That was kind of this season in a nutshell. It was really rough down the stretch. There were definitely some big fun stories, some players with potential. There's not a whole lot of like star potential on here right now. There's a few guys with some star potential in the minor leagues. But think about the baseball season is it just keeps going. It does not stop. But Dane Dunning was a solid development this year. He's a 26-year-old. He's going to be around for quite a while. He was the main piece in the Lance Lynn trade. He showed he is at least a major league average pitcher. They kind of limited his innings this year because, again, they're in a rebuild. So, like, you're not exactly trying to win. But, you know, he's shown some solid potential. Taylor Hearn was a guy who I saw in the minor leagues back when he first got here. He's a guy from the area, from Royce City, Texas. He's 26 years old. He had a really just honestly one of the worst major league debuts that I've ever seen. Pitched a third of an inning in Seattle back, I believe, in 2017. Allowed like 8 runs and got hurt and was out for the season and had not started another game until this year. Did really great in the bullpen this year, then transitioned to being a starter. Had some really, really strong starts and ended up being probably their second best starter at the end of the season. So definitely a huge developmental win there from him. And then Joe Barlow, who's a guy who is a 25-year-old, I believe was a 6th-round pick from a community college in Utah. 11th-round pick out of Salt Lake Community College in Utah. Had some potential in the bullpen and then didn't quite live up to it. This was the year like, all right, we're going to call him up, see what he can do. Did some work with baseball's resident smart guys up in the Pacific Northwest, as millennials love that area, and really kind of found himself. The slider looked much better, was able to cut down those walks, and just was absolutely dominant out of the pen in 31 innings, and might be the Rangers closer next year and for many years to come. So the bright spots were kind of few and far between. Kyle Gibson was a lot of fun. Sad he couldn't get to pitch in the postseason, but definitely a fun, you know, first half of the season story to watch for this Rangers team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Kyle Gibson. I had completely forgotten about the storyline of him going to, was it Philadelphia that he got traded to?
It did.
Yeah. I remember early in the season, like seeing his numbers and some like people on Twitter tweeting about the early Cy Young race and talking about him as a, you know, someone who's putting up those kind of numbers. And so crazy that many moves happened this season. And obviously the Rangers hitting the really, really bad cold streak kind of starting a little before the All-Star break, but especially coming out of the All-Star break, a storyline I've forgotten. So yeah, sad that we don't get to see Gibson in the postseason. Gallo, at least at the time that we're recording this, is in the postseason. The Yankees play the Red Sox tonight. We'll see if he goes 0-for-4 or if he goes 3-for-3 with, you know, 3 home runs, 2 home runs, whatever it might be. You never really know what you're going to get with Joey Gallo. But what would you say? Obviously, you touched on a lot of pitchers that showed a lot of upside, especially Dane Dunning. He has a really nice name and he pitches well. So that always is a nice mixture. But what would you say, besides maybe Adolis Garcia, who are some other guys, whether they're prospects or guys on the current MLB roster, who are some guys that Rangers fans should be getting excited for on the offensive side of the lineup for the Rangers in the coming seasons?
Well, that was the most frustrating part of this year, because I've watched a lot of bad baseball teams. Like, I've watched bad baseball games, and like, I can deal with the Rangers getting lit up for a bunch of runs. Like, that's fine. I can handle it. It's okay. I know how to deal with all that nonsense. But watching a bad offense, it is brutal. And this year was just really bad offensively. I mean, Adolis Garcia was unbelievable in the month of June. One of the best hitters in baseball. But really fell back to earth in some of those other months. Had a really rough July, really, really tough August. And, you know, a better August, excuse me, and a really tough September. He was going for the rookie home run record in a season set by Pete Incaviglia back in the 90s. He was at 29 going into the month of September. Like, okay, he's got it in the bag. He got a whole month to hit 2 home runs. He's got to hit 31. 31 or 30 is the record, and 31 would break it. September 14th, he finally hit number 30. And it wasn't until the last day of September that he finally hit number 31. He had 2 home runs in the whole month of September. We're like, okay, come on, Adolis. Please, you just need like one more. Come on, man. So yeah, that was rough. Nathaniel Lowe is a guy who the Rangers traded for when they already had a guy who I thought was fine at first base, elite defender in Ronald Guzman, and I thought had really turned the corner. But they basically decided that Nathaniel Lowe was going to be their everyday first baseman, so they gave him those at-bats. He was probably their most consistent offensive player that was there at the end of the season. Obviously, Joey Gallo was significantly better than him, but the offense was not great. But if you're looking for guys that are on the doorstep that are definitely going to be there next year, there is one name and one name only that you need to know. That is Josh Young, my beloved Red Raider, Rackham Tech. I saw him there when he was a freshman, and one of my proudest, Nostradamus-y kind of moments is seeing him as a freshman in college, thinking that guy's going to be a first round pick. And you know what? He was. He was a Rangers first round pick. I believe eighth overall back in 2018. He's a guy who has hit at every single level. There were some questions about his power. He has put those questions right to bed. Yeah, eighth overall in 2019. Absolutely mashed in AA and AAA this year. The thought was he was going to be up at the major league level by the end of the season, but a foot injury took off about the first month and a half of his season. So he was delayed in that season, only played 78 games this year in the minors, but hit 19 home runs, absolutely smashed at every single level. Decent defender, but man, this team needs some offense, and I would be absolutely floored if he is not the Rangers' everyday starting third baseman at the beginning of next season.
Yeah, certainly. I think if he can get his defensive play up, I think he and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa can be a formidable force, at least on the defensive side, covering the left side of the infield. And I know Sam Huff is another guy that played really, really well, or at least hit balls really far at the minor league level this season. Coming up next, we're going to be continuing this conversation with Bryce from Locked On Rangers. But before we do that, I want to take a moment and tell you about some of our sponsors for today's episode.
This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rangers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have the chance to chat with me. You might even have a chance to be featured here on the Locked On Rangers podcast through our Green Room conversations. So go download the free Green Room app, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Bryce Paddock to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this week on Thursday night, and I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts about the Rangers. See you there, Green Room. Changing the way we talk about sports.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Jumping back into today's crossover episode between Locked On Stars and Locked On Rangers, Bryce and I are going to continue our conversation just kind of talking about, we just covered the Rangers this past season and kind of their season coming to a close only a few days ago. And now we're just going to take a moment for Bryce to kind of ask some questions about the Stars and just to give me a chance to fill in Stars fans, but also you Rangers fans, guys that have been listening to Bryce. Just kind of answer some questions that you might have as hockey season is rapidly approaching. So, Bryce, what do you got for me?
Well, I got a lot of questions. first off, my main question about this season is, what is Ben Bishop? Like, what is the deal there? I know he's been hurt. He missed all of last season. He showed at times my one good hockey tweet. It was in the playoffs when he was absolutely killing it. I said Ben Bishop has been great, upgraded to Ben Pope. And then a guy named Ben Pope followed me because the guy in question, Ben Pope, covers the Chicago Blackhawks for the Chicago, I believe, Sun-Times, their newspaper up there. So that was fun. But my question is Ben Pope done? Is he washed? Is like, what's the deal with that man?
Man, there is so much to unpack there. That is a great question. And I'm laughing in my head a lot harder than I am out loud at that tweet. Cause that is truly amazing that happened. But Ben Bishop, like you said, is a guy that was absolutely lights out in the 2019 playoffs. Took the team all the way to game 7 of the Western Conference semifinals, where they ultimately lost to the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues in game 7. And then in the following season, 2019-2020, did not really play a whole lot up until the postseason in the bubble in Edmonton, where I believe it was game 4 against Colorado in the semifinals of that playoffs as well. He just looked so bad. He looked awful, which we came later to find out that he was playing with an injured knee. And so he had surgery on the knee, like you said, missed all of last season, still has yet to play this preseason. And I actually saw a tweet from Mike Hyka, the Stars senior staff writer, just before we hopped onto this call, that Rick Bowness, the coach of the Stars, does not plan to play Ben Bishop this season, or the preseason, excuse me. But it's to be determined as far as the regular season goes. I personally would love to see Ben Bishop, Ben Pope, if you will, come back and be who he was prior to his injury. Because like I said, he was lights out. It was almost impossible to score on him. It was just, obviously, you can only be perfect for so long. And the offense on the Stars wasn't doing a whole lot to help him in those playoffs in 2019. And so obviously
it looked at the Rangers offense this year, honestly.
Honestly. And the Stars offense is, if this preseason has even shown anything, can be wildly inconsistent, where they can give up 4 goals in the first period and not score any, but then, score 3 or 4 unanswered in the second and third period. So a lot of inconsistency, which I know the Rangers are notorious for that as well. Didn't they scored like 5 or 6 runs in the first inning on opening day in Kansas City, but then gave up like 5 or 6 back the bottom of the first?
That's exactly what happened. Kyle Gibson's one truly horrendous start of the year. He only went, I think, like 2/3 of an inning, and just weird opening day set the tone for a weird and bad season.
Oh, yeah. A lot of parallels between the Stars and Rangers, as we are finding out. As much as I, and I know other Stars fans, love Anton Khudobin, and wouldn't say love Braden Holtby yet, as we've only seen him in one or two games, and I believe he's in net tonight for the preseason game against the St. Louis Blues. And he has shown a lot of upside, and he's a former Stanley Cup champion with the Washington Capitals in 2018, and a Vezina winner as well, won the NHL's best goalie award. I can't remember what season that was. I want to say 15 or 16 with Washington as well. But he has shown a lot of potential, and we know that he can be a good goalkeeper.
You were right, by the way. I just looked it up. It was 2015-16.
Yes. I talked about it in an episode. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, and so I was having to recall that one off the top of my head.
Also won a William M. Jennings Trophy, whatever that is. I have so many questions about hockey trophies, but, that would be a whole other episode.
Honestly, it might need to be for me too, because as I continue to host this show, I'm learning about trophies that I didn't even know existed. And hockey trophies are so fun because they have like names to them. And I know that's the case for some other leagues, but it's like, in the NFL, it's like, oh, if you're the MVP, like you're the MVP, but if you win the MVP in the NHL, you win, the Art Ross Trophy.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's the Hart. Is Art Ross the scoring title?
Yes.
But like they don't have like some of the trophies, like the Cy Young Award. That's the only one in baseball. It's like, yes, that's the pitching one. And there's some that are like so and so this award. It's like college awards, like the Biletnikoff, the Ray Guy, the Archie Manning or whatever other awards.
Let's see. Okay, yes. The Hart Memorial Trophy is for the MVP of the league in the NHL. Okay. Art Ross is for points. Okay, so I always confuse those two. And then you have Vezina, best goalkeeper, Calder's the best rookie, so on and so forth. But honestly, would love to see Ben Bishop incorporate himself back into the lineup for Dallas. But obviously, if he's not able to be the guy who he once was a few seasons ago, or even if he doesn't play a lot this season, I think the goalkeeper situation is in good hands if Khudobin and Holtby can stay healthy. And of course, if they can't, we have Jake Oettinger, who will be down at the AHL level playing in Cedar Park for the Texas Stars. But he proved that he has a lot of potential last season, having to kind of fill that role of backup goalkeeper to Anton Hudobin.
Yeah, Mike, I was about to ask about that because he looked really solid last year. But I want to ask about some of these young guys who look like they're going to be the future of the Stars team. Obviously, like, the guy for the future is Miro Heiskanen, a guy with a lot of potential. But the two guys that I absolutely love watching are Roope Hintz and Denis Gurianov. Excuse me, Gurianov. That's not how they say things in Soviet Russia.
In Texas, that's how they say it.
That's Denis Gurianov right there. I tell you what, that guy's got some real some power. He's a son of a gun, tell you what. But what are you expecting from those guys and from Miro in terms of taking the next step of their development this year and kind of helping push this team towards the playoffs and maybe even another deep playoff run?
Well, I think that Miro Heiskanen, to kind of start with him, I think that there's a lot of expectations on him this season from the fan base, but also obviously from the front office with him just signing an 8-year extension worth, you know, $67 million. And so they're paying him a lot of money to have him in Dallas for the long term. And so there's obviously high expectations that he is going to outperform himself from the past few seasons, which I think he's very capable of doing. And I think that
$63 million?
I believe it was 67.
That sounds about like what the offer the Rangers gave Joey Gallo for that extension.
Was it 8 years?
No, it was... Okay. I want to say it was like 4 years and $85 million.
Which
for him, that's like an absolute insult. Like, they didn't make a counter offer. But anyway, you're talking about Miro Heiskanen kicking major butt, which is always music to my ears.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he is going to be the leader of that defensive unit, especially even with the addition of Ryan Suter in the offseason. I think Suter will kind of be, provide some veteran experience, but I think overall Miro Heiskanen will be leading the charge and just being a force on defense and causing issues for the opposing team's offensive attack. But Miro can also sneak in a few shots from the blue line, from the top of the offensive zone. And so that makes him a dangerous player that you have to watch on both sides of the ice. And as far as Roope Hintz and Denis Gurianov, those are two guys that I really enjoy talking about on this show, just because, like you said, they are the future of this team. And Roope Hintz especially, just the way that he moves on the ice and the speed that he moves with whenever he's not injured, which he was battling a lot of injuries last season as well, which was like the story of the Dallas Stars last year, battling injuries. Whenever he's unaffected by injuries, one of the best skaters on the team, and just the way that he is able to move, either whether he has the puck or not, is just unmatched by almost anyone else on the team. And maybe one of the people that could be in contention for that is Denis Gurianov, another young guy, who I think more people in the NHL are going to take notice of this season. I think a lot of Stars fans know about Denis Gurianov, however you want to say it. But I think that this season, playing on the second or third line for Dallas, which is incredible to have a player that talented, that young, not even being on our first line, but getting to play, playing less minutes, but still playing effective minutes and playing with some other really good players, some other guys like Jamie Benn or Tyler Seguin. So it'll be really exciting to see how those guys develop this season. As they're looking to potentially sign extensions of their own. I don't know if they'll be as big as Miro Heiskanen because, as you know, no sports team just has an unlimited amount of money, though some organizations like to pretend that they do.
The Dodgers do, but like nobody else is the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, no one, or at least the Rangers and Stars, are not the Dodgers.
But yeah, I do have a question about Denis Gurianov's minutes. I think that was one of the big frustrations, at least for me personally, and my former co-host Morgan Price, she did a petty ice time chart for every period of like just tracking who gets the most minutes. Why do you think Gurianov's minutes were so low last season? Even when he was doing well, it felt like he wasn't quite getting enough minutes to make a big impact.
Yeah, I was also confused by that because it never really seemed that he was dealing with a lot of injuries, which I feel like the Stars were very open about letting us know, like, hey, you're not seeing Tyler Seguin because he's hurt and had surgery. You're not seeing Alexander Radulov or Roope Hintz or Ben Bishop for the same reason. And so I would just have to imagine that maybe the coaching staff kind of knew where the Stars were in terms of a playoff hunt during the season, which honestly, they almost made the playoffs despite all the injuries and setbacks with COVID and the tough scheduling. But I imagine that the coaching staff was attempting to get more minutes for some of our younger guys. And Dennis is a younger guy, but we were playing with a lot of guys that were at the prospect level or guys that hadn't seen a lot of NHL minutes. So I would just have to imagine kind of putting myself in the mind of Rick Bowness, that he's trying to delve out the minutes, not necessarily evenly, because I think Dennis could have gotten a few more minutes. Or maybe he saw some things in practice that he liked from other guys that led him to play those other guys more. But hopefully this season, with the fully healthy roster and obviously with a new schedule and more spaced out, even schedule that's not going to be as demanding on the players, Dennis will get a few more minutes to complement some of those guys I mentioned earlier, Ben, Sagan, Radulov, whoever he might be out there with on the second or third line for Dallas.
That makes a lot of sense. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to, you know, go back and forth with all kinds of fun crossovery Rangers Stars questions coming up right after this word from our sponsors.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you about some of those sponsors for today's episode. And another one of those is an all-time classic. You love it. We love it here at Locked On Podcast Network, and it's Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorite flavors. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out, but it's okay because I'm going to name them for you right now. They have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you feel overwhelmed by the amount of flavors that I just read, that's okay because Built Bar has your back. They'll send you two of those flavors out of the nine that they have. If you order online, you can choose the option to get two of the nine flavors in your box instead of just one. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're also healthy and good for you. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories that range from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. You can go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Jumping back in to the conclusion of today's crossover between Locked On Stars and Locked On Rangers with Bryce Patterick. Like Bryce said before we kind of jump to the ad break, we're just going to take a moment and just ask some fun, more lighthearted questions about our respective teams and just kind of what it's, yeah, just tackling some questions about some of the DFW, I guess, lesser known or lesser
appreciated teams.
Yeah, and I mean, for big reasons. I mean, you have America's team playing across the street from the Rangers. And that's kind of one question I wanted to ask. What is it like for you, and what do you think, I guess, I don't know if advice is the right, but what's something we can kind of say to like current fans, obviously the people listening to this show are people that might stumble across it, a Rangers or Stars fan, about the two teams. I think the Stars and Rangers are both teams that have good followings and have strong fan bases, but obviously, you know, you have the Dallas Cowboys, one of the biggest, if not the biggest sports brand in the entire world, and the Mavericks playing at the American Airlines Center with the Stars as well, with, you know, generational talent like Luka Doncic. What do you think the advantage of also kind of tuning into the smaller, what it might feel like a smaller market team in the DFW area is like for kind of the casual DFW fan? I don't know if that made any sense at all.
I think it made sense. It made sense, at least in my head. So, you know, I feel like that counts. You know, it's kind of wild that like how little attention the Rangers got. I mean, honestly, like I don't blame any fan for like there's no rules of fandom, like just be a fan of whatever. But like, I don't blame anyone for tuning out when the Rangers were absolutely trash at like the middle of the season, even the beginning of the season, just like knowing like, all right, this is going to be a rough one. I want to go watch some Dallas Wings or FC Dallas. Cause those are the other teams that are going during the Rangers season. But like during the Stars season, there's Mavs going on, even in the same building, there's football going on. And then, well, I guess in like, you know, March and April, it's basically just hockey and baseball season. And I guess March Madness season too, but it's kind of weird being a team, but that's one of the things I love about like new age sports media and like specifically our podcasts is that like, if you're thinking, ugh, all the national news, all the local paper or all the Athletic or whatever media outlet you consume, all they talk about is you know, the Cowboys and occasionally the Mavs. We're like, we got daily podcasts here about the Rangers and the Stars. So if you're like, I want to hear more about the Rangers or I want to hear more about the Stars, you know where you can get it. There are also more specialized blogs, more specialized writers and stuff. And so it's kind of nice being able to have your own niche, carve out that niche. I mean, there wasn't I don't know if there's any other daily Stars podcasts. I know there's no other daily Rangers podcasts, and if there are, well, they're not as good as mine. So it's nice to be able to kind of carve out that niche and be like, yeah, if you want the content, it's there. You might have to go look for it, because I'm not the most famous person in DFW sports media, but you know, I'm getting there. I got my blue check mark on Twitter, so I got to get at least like halfway there.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're well on your way. If you've got that blue check mark, you can do anything. So I'm told.
You know, I'm ashamed to say how much joy and like, you know, smugness it brought me, and how badly I've wanted it for so long. I'm like, I got a journalism degree. I work at a major, you know, a major podcasting company. I work for a major news outlet. Why is it taking me so long? Let them know that I'm a real person and semi-important in some circles.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I saw how many Locked On hosts, like once I got brought onto the network and even before I started hosting, like had the check mark, and I was like, oh, they got it because they're a Locked On host. So like the first day, like the day my first episode went up, I like applied for verification on Twitter, and it took like 2 minutes for them to be like, yeah, no, we're not verifying you. So we'll see. Maybe one day we'll get there, but yeah, I agree. You know, that it's fun to have like our, even if it is a smaller audience, like to have, like the faithful and loyal listeners that tune into our shows consistently. And obviously, as we've mentioned, like the fan bases for both these teams are great. And as is the case for, rightfully so, the other teams, I'm not trying to, and I know we're both not trying to sound bitter by any means, because the Cowboys, obviously having maybe just a little bit. But yeah, the Cowboys obviously having a fantastic season so far, and the Mavericks are anticipating a big season this year. So it's exciting. At the end of the day, to just kind of take a wider look. And, you know, if you're a fan of all four teams, that's great. If you only follow, you know, the Stars and Rangers or one of those teams, you're only an FC Dallas fan, Dallas Wings fan, you do you. If you're a fan of those teams and you're listening to this podcast, you might be lost, but we're glad you're here regardless.
Yeah, glad you're here anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And if you've made it, I think we're like 33 minutes in and you've stayed this long, you're a real one. So a lot of respect. But kind of another fun question that I had brought to mind, that I originally wanted to just kind of start with one player, but now want to expand per you saying that you think it would be fun before we started recording. If you had to create kind of like a starting lineup of current Rangers players that were on the roster this season and make a hockey team out of them, who would you put where and why? It doesn't necessarily have to be the full roster, but when you think of...
So you're saying that I can use Joey Gallo, because I'm going to anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You use Joey Gallo. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, if you want to throw in, I was going to say managers. I don't know where Chris Woodward is going to go on this roster. But if you have a place in your head for Chris Woodward on this roster, by all means.
Well, I'll create my starting lineup. I'm making sure that my hockey math is right. There's the three forwards, the left wing, the center, the right wing, and then two defenders and a goalie. Am I correct in that? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I feel like the goalie is the easiest one, because it's just basically straight up catcher. I love Jose Trevino. I don't know that he's big enough. I mean, he might be. He's probably a one, because I mean, in terms of Rangers starting catcher, it was kind of like the Stars starting goalies last year, and kind of there was a 1A and a 1B. But I'd say Trevino and Jonah Heim are definitely the goalies there. Joey Gallo, I'm gonna put him on the right wing. You know, he's probably got a left-handed shot if he does do hockey. He grew up in Las Vegas, so I'm not assuming he grew up with playing a lot of hockey.
Probably not.
But he's a big, strong man, and he made the transition from third base to Gold Glove right fielder. So the transition to hockey, so I'm sure would be fine. And I'm sure his slap shot is probably just as powerful as his home run swing, and he will put a hole through the net and through the boards with how hard he's hitting that ball.
I would be terrified to have a Joey Gallo baseball coming at me and also a puck.
My gosh. Absolutely. Imagine the glass just shattering terrified. In front of you. Absolutely terrified. Let's see. On the left wing, you know what? I'm going to be basic. I'm going to put, I'm going to put Adolis Garcia back on defense. Kind of work my way around looking at this. He's a big guy. He's incredibly fast. You know, he swings and misses a whole lot, so I don't know that I want him, you know, getting set up for those slap shot opportunities. Like he might miss a few. So yeah, I'm gonna put him on the back of my defensive pairing, and along with him, oh gosh, this is so weird. But you know what? I'm gonna put Ronald Guzman there. Ronald Guzman is listed at 6'5". I swear he's at least 6'8". That dude is absolutely massive.
He's so big.
the Rangers did him wrong by trying to play him in the outfield. So I'm going to do him even wronger by trying to put him on the hockey ice. And I'm sure the Condor, that's his nickname, because his wingspan is probably longer than an actual Condor. So I put him there on my defensive pairing. At center, I don't, what are the qualities that make a good center? What are some descriptors that I should look for in these guys?
I think a lot of times the center, and maybe it kind of depends on your team and who you have, but a lot of times I think they're kind of the facilitator of the offense. Okay. Yeah, you look at guys like Jamie Benn, and it's weird because guys can like transition even in midseason sometimes from playing like the wing to the center, depending on injuries or if the coach sees something in practice or a game, but he's like, oh, I might want to switch this. So obviously like Jamie Benn is the Stars captain, but he also plays center. So leader on the ice as like the way he plays, but also leader of the team as well. So I don't know if that's something you want to factor in when making your decision.
You know, I think I might. Dane Dunning is, you know, passer, like I guess pitching and pass, that's about as close to a comparison as you can get. He's big dude, 6'4", 225 is what he's listed at. You know, not afraid to be, might not be afraid to be physical. I don't know. I don't know what he'd look like on the ice, but I would like to see it because I think that would be fun and definitely very interesting. And then on my left wing, I'm just going to pull this out of left field and say DJ Peters, because actually, no, I'm going to say Willie Calhoun. I think that'd be weird, really weird. He's lefty. I assume that you want the righties with the left hand, or the lefties with the left-handed shot on the right wing and the righties on the left wing. But Jamie Benn plays left wing sometimes and he's left-handed. So screw it. I'm going to go Willie Calhoun. He's a gamer. I just want to see more of Willie Calhoun. But he's also been hurt a lot. He has also been beat up by hit by pitches, missed a lot of time, got hit in the face with a pitch, and also got hit in the arm this year, broke his arm and missed about 6 weeks. So, you know, actually, I'm going to pull Willie out. I want to be nice to him. I don't want him to get hurt.
You can go play golf or something that's a little more less injury prone. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Less contact.
Yes.
For sure. But you know what? I'm going to put Charlie Culberson out there. Charlie Culberson played almost every single position. He also pitched quite a bit. Sure. Let's put him on a hockey field, on hockey ice, whatever the terminology is. Clearly, it's not a field. You imagine them skating on grass with ice skates. That would be an absolute disaster, but maybe really fun to watch if the guys don't get hurt. So yeah, that's my weird Rangers starting lineup. And I'm curious who you might pick for who you think would be best at baseball on the Rangers team. I think Ben Bishop played some baseball and maybe took some swings at practice when they had the little like crossover day when the Stars just came out and hung out at the Rangers game.
That sounds familiar, and I can just like see that happening because Ben Bishop is like obviously with a lot of the NHL, you know, these guys grow up in Canada or you know Finland, Sweden, countries where maybe baseball isn't as big. But Ben Bishop is an American citizen, so it wouldn't surprise me if he grew up with a baseball background as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, so this is just like one guy on the Stars roster that would be like a really good baseball player.
If you want to pick multiple, I will not limit you, but I will also not. Picking nine out of a bunch of guys who grew up in Finland and Sweden would be hilariously entertaining, but they probably wouldn't be very good at baseball.
For sure. Yeah. Let me, man, I think kind of off the top of my head, I think that Jason Robertson would probably be really good at playing in the outfield, another kind of speedy guy. So he can cover a lot of ground. I can imagine like if he's fast on skates, which it's hard to move in skates, if you've ever tried ice skating or rollerblading. If he's able to just use his feet on a flat surface and he's able to skate fast, I can imagine that he can run very fast and he's young. So I'm sure he has a lot of bounce if he needs to run up to the wall and, you know, snag a home run and rob someone of a home run. But I think he also has a lot of firepower whenever he shoots the puck at the goal. And not that the motion of shooting the puck is the same as swinging the bat, but I'm sure he could find a way with a good hitting coach to transfer like, that power.
It's the core strength, you know? So
yeah. And you move your hips and you move your shoulders a little bit. You're just like doing it downward, I guess.
It's just, you're elevating the angle, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like golf and hockey, I mean, Happy Gilmore did it. So like, why couldn't anybody else do it? I feel like my guess, I think Ben Bishop, I saw him take some batting practice, makes some decent looking swings. I think Jamie Benn grew up playing a little bit of baseball as well. So I remember seeing him take some BP and looking okay. And I bet Tyler Seguin would be all right at it too. So if I had to pick a few, I think the Jason Robertson one, I think that's spot on. I think those other guys, they might be all right too.
Yeah, and I think the hockey guys would also be, especially the older guys like Ben Seguin or even like Alexander Radulov would be great to have, especially like if there's a brawl or like a bench clearing, because hockey players just have no fear. Like even the other night when the Stars were playing Arizona in a preseason game, like there were a few fights at the end that kind of broke out. Whereas like baseball, it's like some like whenever the bench is clear, I think it's blown out of proportion more than
it's more of a hold
like
me
is.
Back kind of situation. Yeah. Unless if they had Jamie Benn there for the 2006 or was it 2016 the Rougned Odor,
I think.
Yeah, yes. The Rougned Odor brawl. Gosh,
chaos.
That would have gotten even more out of hand than it already was.
If you like replaced Jamie Benn with Adrian Beltre, like Beltre had to like hold Bautista up after the hit. If that had been Jamie Benn, he just would have been like, nah, let me.
He would just hit him again.
Yeah. He might have held him up for a second and then been like, nah, I don't like this guy.
It's like, stay down.
Yeah. Oh, but thankfully, Adrian was there to keep Jose from potentially falling and causing further damage to what was already done, especially to his face, but also his pride as well. Because that was, Rougned Odor will always just be a well-known Ranger in my head for that. I can't name another time that I was like, wow, that was a fun Rougned Odor play, but that moment made it all worth it. It almost feels like
it absolutely did. And you know, it didn't end well, and he also is playing in the postseason, and in case you missed, he is a member of the Yankees, so therefore he had to shave his face too, which was very off-putting, very upsetting. He looks like, I don't know, because he's always been like basically bald for the last like few years.
Yeah.
Which is not to shame him, because I'm sure I'll be there very soon, not quite as young as him. But I also don't have quite as full a beard as him. But seeing him with like the kind of, you know, thinner head of hair and clean shave, it's just an off-putting look.
Do you think him or Gallo had the bigger like downgrade of like, oh, that's what they look like, clean? Like who was the more like disappointing guy to see have to shave their beard?
Gallo's beard was like, it wasn't like, it was about like about what mine, like he never let it got like full like beardy. Like it was solid. Full, not like, you know, I don't know, Abe Lincoln kind of beard that Rougned Odor did. And you know, objectively speaking, Gallo is a good looking man. He can make just about anything look fine. So like it was offsetting, like a little off putting, a little upsetting. But it was definitely more upsetting for him. And then Robinson Chirinos signed a spring training deal with him. So him without his beard also looks super weird. He kept it shaved when he went to the Cubs. And now I think he played the end of the season with the Cubs and kept it clean shaved. But that was also, both of those two like took pictures together with their clean shaven face. And I'm like, you look like different people. That's weird. Yeah. I need you to grow it back. Yankees, it's not 1930 anymore. You can't tell people how to like keep their faces. Like it's just stupid.
Yeah. Always kind of weird to me. And I feel like it would make more sense if they like were better. Like obviously they kind of squeaked their way into the postseason. So like they're not a terrible team. But it's like if they were where the Rays are and they're like dominating their division, it'd be like, okay, like, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But
no, I say it only matters if you're a firefighter. Those people have to shave their faces so they can put on the mask to go save people's lives. That's the only time where it's acceptable, unless you're someone's like parents and they're like a 13-year-old and they've got like their first little attempt at a mustache and it looks terrible. Those are the two times where I say it's acceptable. Tell someone else how to shave their face. Also, I guess if you're dating them, you have some input, but you don't have the final say of like, you have to do this. Otherwise, you can't play baseball for my team.
Very true. Yeah, I myself also having a beard don't like when people tell me to shave. So I don't know. Maybe that's just something that guys have to push to the side when they play for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I'd look like a little 12-year-old if I played for the Yankees. But I'd also be getting at least, you know, the major league minimum of $500,000 per year. So if someone wants to pay me $500,000 per year to shave my face, I will do it. If you're going to pay me less than that, I think $250,000 a year is the lowest I would take for that. But if you want to pay me to do that, then like slide in my DMs, email me, call me, literally whatever you want to do to get in contact with me. I will do that for $250,000 at the very least.
Oh yeah, that certainly doesn't sound bad at all, now that I think about it. So a lot of things to consider, but that is going to wrap up today's very special crossover with Bryce Patterg of Locked On Rangers here. With me, Dane, Locked On Stars. I don't know where I was going with trying to introduce myself in the third person, but there we go. I'll get better with these crossovers as time goes on. Bryce, thank you so much for crossing over and having this conversation. A lot of fun. Hopefully there's some good storylines for the Rangers this offseason. Maybe some big free agent signings. You never know.
You never know. It should be an interesting offseason at the very least. Thanks for having me on. And you know what? I'm definitely looking forward to hockey season because, you know, dear God, it can't be as rough as this baseball season.
you would hope not. And I'm having a lot of optimism on my show, and even with some of my hot takes and predictions that, if they're not out already, will be going out on like the Locked On NHL shows and social media pages as well. So hopefully the Stars don't underperform too much where I look like an idiot. But I also want to be optimistic because I do think they have a really good roster. But yeah. Thank you again, Bryce, for being on the show.
One last thing for those of you who are listening to this on the audio medium, where can they find you and your work? I think your Twitter is @Dane with 2 underscores, then Lewis. And if Stars fans are listening to this through the audio medium, you can find me on Twitter @BrycePatterg. That's Bryce with an I, Patterg with no C. Rangers fans, please go follow Dane. Excuse me, I almost called you Dan. Dane, like Dunning, but it's last name Lewis. And follow him wherever you get your podcasts and also on YouTube as well.
Yeah, thank you for that. And Stars fans, I say the same for Bryce. He gave you his Twitter just @BrycePatterg, Bryce with an I and no C in Patterg. But go give him a follow to get all of your news on the Rangers offseason, and then it'll be baseball season again before we know it, with spring training rolling around in February, and you won't want to miss out on all the news and updates. Bryce will have you covered there. Thank you again, Bryce. Really enjoyed the conversation, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. Best of luck this season. Now, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Hope you enjoyed my talk with Dane. Make sure to go give him a follow. Listen to the Locked On Stars podcast. Hockey season is coming up, and I know I'm going to be listening to Dane and all of his takes on Locked On Stars. Very glad to have him as a part of this network. And that's going to do it for this edition. I'll be talking tomorrow about some of the coaching staff decisions that the Rangers made this week, how that is going to affect these young hitters, and, you know, why they might have gotten let go. So that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.